You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
All right, rolling on Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle. Stacked hour. Stacey Ross will join us at 8:30. John Clayton, of course, at 8:45. We'll get some open phones at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, direct from our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM, joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, host of the G and Ursula Show, G. Scott, our fragrance expert. I'm so glad you're here today. I know you want to like give your opinion on defense coordinator stuff and all that, but we got to first talk about what's going on with Russ and Sierra. R&C, Intense and Harmony, G, the two new fragrances from Russ. Have you smelled them yet?
I have not smelled
okay.
them.
Now, you have how many bottles are you... of fragrance at home, you
this
said?
This is not a time for you to take shots at me.
I'm just trying to set up your credentials.
I have a few.
40?
No, not that many.
20?
Not that many. 15, 20.
All right, 15 to 20 different fragrances, including a special car fragrance that you keep in there just in case you got to hit yourself on the way out the door, right?
You already see, you know your boy got that fragrance on the side of the ding.
So your credentials have been warmly established. We got a text earlier, by the way, who said that you stayed at their guest house or in their guest room at some point, and the room smelled delicious for 5 days afterwards, and the dude's girlfriend kept going in just to smell the room after you were there.
That was really a text?
Yes. True? Do you know who this is?
No, but that was scary. No. Not scary what they said, but scary what they could have said. Like, imagine,
right.
Like, yeah, we went in the room after 5 days, and here's what we found. So I'm glad I packed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. But they like that smell after.
Imagine you being in a hotel room. Like, hey, I was at the hotel room after Mike Salk left.
Yeah, don't do that. That's when you cut the person's mic off and say, dump it immediately. All right, so Russell, can you play a little of Russ in there and what the commercial sounds like for G?
Oh, they have a commercial?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's not a commercial. It's just them talking about it. But
oh, okay.
Russ and Sierra.
Let's go.
We were blocking our tails off. We
That's not it.
That
that's
wasn't
just,
it.
That's
Let's
just Russ
this.
Talk. That's just Russ
we
giving
have
a cliche.
Our new his and hers fragrance called R&C. My bottle is obviously the C bottle, and what I wanted to do is represent the effortlessly fresh, sexy, cool woman that has a signature smell. So you remember her when she walks past you. You remember that scent when you have time with her. And that was all some of the things that were really important to me in my bottle. And I know for you, babe.
Yeah, for our fragrance was this idea, just feeling sexy, confident when we walk in the room.
Oh.
And I think that, I know when C and I first met, she was always asking, what are you wearing? You know, so, to be able to, make this and to go along this process with you has been really, really special. And we're really excited about it.
My main man, Russ, I know what Russ's scent smells like. He's got that scent that you can't go to sleep. You know what I mean? He's got that cologne like, man, why are you up so late, man? I can't sleep, man. This new cologne. Bing.
Well, it turns out, G, that those aren't the only colognes out there. There's other Seahawk colognes in the works.
Yeah, so that was R and C. I present you B and C, starting with balance. Boring and predictable. Balance brings results. Evoking ball security. And discipline. Balance represents a deep, intimate connection between running and throwing. With notes of sweat and field turf, it's truly successful. Balance, the new fragrance by Alain Desjardins.
Now, would you add that to your collection, or would you go with R?
Yes, I would add it to the collection, because sometimes in my collection, there are, as a matter of fact, my oldest son just got me a bottle of something. I think he got the bottle, and he re-gifted to me for Christmas, and he's like, oh, Dad, I think you'd like this. I'm like, do not buy your dad cologne, but I said, oh, it smells great.
So get you some Old Spice.
So I got some bottles of cologne that I might wear, you know what I'm saying, like after I get that shower late at night, and I might get a little bing, little quick splash of it.
You're getting into bed. I know you're now engaged, but if you were getting into bed by yourself, would you still put cologne on before bed?
I put it on different. You know what I'm saying? And so, okay, you guys are laughing, but I'm telling you, I'm being transparent with you guys. And so you just quit. So what you do is you do a quick pump, pow, into the air, right? And then you just kind of walk through it. And so then you get mystified. So you don't go too many of the same way you would go out in public.
But you do a thing where you like stick your neck into it like a giraffe?
No, you kind of walk.
A little mist and you just kind of like... You start doing a Merton Hanks into it to make sure that you only get it onto your face.
You kind of walk into it like a shower. Like, okay. Oh, yeah.
Do you do this thing where you kind of put your arms back behind you like you're on top, like in Titanic or something?
That's pretty good.
Okay. Hey, there is one other fragrance, G, before you continue. We do have one other.
There's more?
Yeah, there's one more.
Do you want to wait till the end to give that to him? You guys can get in some...
Well, we'll run out of time. You might as well do it now.
Okay, yeah. So that was Balance.
Okay.
Russell and Sierra's fragrances. This is John and Pete. Right? So this is Pete's. It's Compete. Unapologetic and proud, Compete represents a ballet of brothers at their most selfless and humble selves, striving to victory. Engineered to start subtle.
Can you win a game in the first quarter?
No!
And finish strong.
Can you win a game in the fourth quarter?
With mixed notes of frustration and triumph. Always be ready to compete. A new fragrance by Alain Desjardins.
Well, in fairness to John and Pete, you already know what that cologne smells like. Let's go back to the days, everybody. Let's go back to your daddy or your uncle or maybe your granddaddy. You remember Brute.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Old Spice. You remember Stetson, right? Those were the colognes.
I don't have to remember Old Spice. I can just see my dad. Wears it every day. Has worn it every day of my life. Aftershave.
You know John Schneider wears either Stetson or Brute every single day. Now that he's got that beard. But I want to go back to Russell and Sierra. Okay. And here's the beauty of it. The fact that they are in their lives, at the point of their careers, life is good when you are putting out perfumes and or colognes, right?
Sure.
You have reached the pinnacle. Like, you don't have just some t-shirts or some shoes or some clothes. Your brand is so strong, you're putting out a fragrance. So I was just thinking, man, what level of life do you have to be to put out a fragrance? Like, Liz Taylor, she put out a fragrance, right? Like, those are some of the – I mean, that's Michael Jordan put out a fragrance.
That's my quarterback.
So shout out to Russell and Sierra for the cologne and perfume that they put together. I think that they need to come out with a commercial. And the commercial, if you guys remember the movie Boomerang, they came out and they were all sitting in the boardroom, and Grace Jones had the perfume. It was called Strange. So that'd be great.
Gee, who's going to be the next defense coordinator of the Seahawks?
My pick is Clint Hurt. That's my pick.
I mean, I would have bet $1 million that that would be the case.
That would be my pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I love Clint Hurt. He's been a D-line coach since 2017. But how about this? Instead of just saying that he is my pick to be the DC and he's who I would pick, I'll give you a few reasons as to why. The Seahawks they've been using the 3-4 principles that you guys have been talking about on your show. They've been doing it since before KJ Wright left.
4-3 with 3-4 principles.
Absolutely. And doing this, going to these defenses, it disguises a lot of coverages a lot better than the 4-3. So in this case, Clint Hurt was in the system with Vic Fangio when they ran it in Chicago. And one of the other names that's out there, the DB coach at the time back then was Ed Donatell. He was a DB coach during that time. And then even going back to before that, Clint Hurt was also under Charlie Strong at Louisville in the same system, understanding that. Now, since Pete has been here, let's go down memory lane. Since Pete has been here, he's had 3 D-line coaches, Dan Quinn, and he had my man, if you guys remember, Travis Jones, and then now Clint Hurt. Dan Quinn was a D-line coach, was a D-line coach forever, if you want to be honest. And then he became the defensive coordinator. And then, of course, he became a head coach. And we all know everybody loves Dan Quinn, no doubt about it. But with that said, one of the things that I've been hearing from current players and former players about, I said, well, why do D-line coaches make good defensive coordinator? And they tell me it's because usually defensive line coaches have more of an aggression. Usually they don't want to sit back. You want to pin your ears back a little bit and be able to get that rush, obviously, on quarterbacks. And so they have an aggression with that. I also want to say you cannot count out the development. Puna Ford, undrafted, good player. Brian Monet, undrafted, good player. All developed under Clint Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren Reed, never known as a pass rusher, and then became one. And, of course, unfortunately, he's not with us anymore. Frank Clark had his best career still under Clint Hurt. So I can go on and on and on. But the bottom line is this. We just got to make sure if they're going to let Clint Hurt be the cook in the kitchen and let him cook, they got to get Clint Hurt some better groceries. You feel me?
So you think it's 100% just talent there?
I think there is a lot. I think the DBs, I think that was a struggle this season. I mean, we're not
picked it up by the end, though. I mean, you kind of look at where you're at by the end, and like I think those guys played pretty well once you got
absolutely
to Reed and the rest of the group there.
Absolutely. Back to back top five finishes in the NFL for NFL rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So anyway, that would be my pick.
Would you have moved on from Ken Norton?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that.
I know you were. I know you were hoping that.
No.
You would have kept Ken Norton. You love Ken Norton.
I love
I know you do.
Ken
Norton. And you know what? I totally understand it, but they had to. It's not even about Ken Norton at some point, right? It's just about the defense starting so slowly and getting better over time. It's just too late, and at some point you've got to move on and just try it a different way.
Yeah. We
he's a victim on a little bit, maybe, but just you kind of have to. At some point you've got to do that.
I'll just simplify it. I don't want your listeners don't want to hear me get sappy.
Okay.
They don't want to hear me sniffle. I love Ken Norton for everything that he stands for everything that he's done for me personally back in the day. I'm just a Ken Norton fan. So that's fair. That's fair. If everybody wants to get rid of Ken Norton, cool. It breaks my heart, but that's another story.
What is this new defense coordinator going to do with Jamal Adams? I really believe it is the first question they should be asked is how they're going to get something out of a guy that was an All-Pro 2 years ago and now all of a sudden seems to be almost like a an extra piece that nobody knows what to do with and a struggle for a couple of years. How is this person going to unlock the potential inside Jamal Adams?
Well, they're gonna build with him on the team. They're gonna build with him, and I think that the idea is to see what they did last season, right? So this season, right? We can say that the pass rush really wasn't there because oftentimes you saw a lot of these rushers, right? Some of the linebackers dropping back in coverage in that situation, whereas in 2020. They pressured them more. They ended the season top 10 in the defense in the NFL in sacks. Well, rush and coverage go hand in hand. I'm bringing that up just to say Jamal Adams is a really good football player. We can't sit here and just say like, oh, man, Jamal Adams hurt. No, we saw the flashes. We saw the greatness that he was in 2020. We saw him playing through the fingers injury. By the way, the finger injury was just brutal. I don't know if you've ever seen his hands, but that was brutal in itself. And then, of course, he had the shoulder situation that's just put him out now. But I think the Seahawks can be really – they have to be really good, and they have to utilize that talent right there. So what the Seahawks are going to do, they're going to be better, I believe. I believe if a healthy Jamal Adams comes back this season, I believe they really can utilize that amazing talent. And you start talking about somebody like him, it kind of reminds me of the Rams defense, right? The Rams defense, if you think about it, really didn't get great. Now, I'm not saying that Jalen Ramsey and Jamal Adams play the same position, but I'm just giving an example. The Rams defense, they didn't get really good until they got Jalen Ramsey, despite even having Aaron Donald, who was a future Hall of Famer. But you need to have that highlighted player that way. And I think Jamal Adams is going to be that.
Good stuff. G, thank you. Thank you for being our fragrance expert. We need that. Something tells me you're at 15 now, but once RNC comes out, I know you're going to be at 17. I know you're buying both those bottles.
I just want to say that this is unfair. I should get five more minutes
five?
On the show.
Why?
Well, here's why.
What do you mean, why?
What other football person comes on? I'm not a football person, but
right.
What other guest comes on?
No, let's start with, you're not a football person.
No,
so, okay,
no.
Yeah,
no.
And?
What other guest
yes.
comes on,
right.
Do you sit here and bombard them with fragrances?
Well, we don't have any other guests that know anything about fragrance, so I can't answer that question. You're the only one who fits that category. You're our fragrance expert. What else? Who you timed so perfectly today. I'm sorry. You'll have to go be better somewhere else.
I wonder if in the DEI classes across the country
where
they talk fragrance.
That's enough. Please go away. That is enough from you today. We'll talk next week. Goodbye, G. Scott.
All right, bro.
Have a good weekend. It's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Can you imagine that class? Trying to include more fragrances.
I miss what kind of class he called it.
Huh?
I missed the class.
DEI. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. you can hear G over on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM. He's one of my favorites, man. One oddity about the start of the Seahawks offseason has been the upcoming changes to the defense, despite the offense being maybe the more underwhelming unit this year. Finished the year 11th in points. They gave up... they're 11th in points given up per game, but 16th in points scored. So why are we so focused on the defense? Couple of reasons. One, they already made their coaching change offensively a year ago, and I think it took some time for that unit to come together. Shane Waldron, a first-time play caller last year, also stuck between a coach and a quarterback who maybe weren't 100% aligned. By the end of the year, he finally seemed to get his feet under him, and I think there's maybe a reason for confidence there. Also, the Russ injury just seemed to zap them of their strength. The running back situation took so long to normalize with the injuries there. Even the offensive line took a while, but finally came around by the end of the year. So I think there's some sense that the offense kind of has it going in the right direction. But yeah, there is still work to be done. Probably I'd like to re-sign Penny. They need some changes at center and maybe elsewhere in the offensive line. And at the tight end spot, I know everybody loves Gerald Everett. I thought he was okay. And there are other options there. Mike Gesicki, David Njoku, Zach Ertz, just to name a few. You got DK, you got Tyler, you got Russ. That is the crux of a pretty good offense. Should be the best weekend of NFL games this year. Divisional round Saturday and Sunday, our last weekend, with four games, but without some of those expected blowouts from wildcard round. Best game of the weekend should be Bills-Chiefs. Kansas City trying to make a third straight Super Bowl. Josh Allen trying to show the world he can win big games. Where do Seahawks fans land on Niners-Packers? Oddly, San Francisco's had their number, so we'll see if that can continue. They beat up Jimmy Garoppolo playing in wind chill conditions below zero at Lambeau Field. Rams and Bucks could be even worse for me. Yes, we should all be rooting for Tampa to take out the NFC West brethren Rams and make them appear to be a bust, but rooting for Bruce Arians just sounds like an alternate form of hell, so I'm not sure how that will go. And there you go. That's a divisional round weekend with a big three games. I'm sorry, there is one more.
I won't take this slander.
Bengals-Titans, the early game on Saturday. Tennessee wound up somehow with a bye despite starting Ryan Tannehill a quarterback all year. Lots of folks predicting an upset here as that Cincy offense has been humming. Looks like Derrick Henry may return for the Titans. We should have that decision today.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
It's always a little sad when the scheduling of a meeting counts as news, let alone good news, but that's kind of where we're at. It's how I felt about the reports that the players will meet with Major League Baseball on Monday. Players expected to bring their counterproposal to the meeting, and unlike the last time, the two sides will meet in person this time, so hopefully that's more conducive to some friendly vibes. John Morosi, on with Wyman and Bob yesterday, explains that the players' proposal is awfully important.
This next counter from the players is going to be pivotal, and according to reports, we're expecting that to happen early part of next week on Monday. And so we will see how closely this next offer comes into the direction of MLB. And I would caution everybody that if it does not resemble a lot of progress, to not despair. These things do take time.
Yeah, this is one of those stories where it's hard not to think with your heart. All I want is for them to work something out on time so we can get started with first the offseason and especially this Mariners season, but the issues they have to work through are very complex, they're important, and the two sides still are really far apart. So hopefully getting together in person can be the beginning of trying to bridge that gap. Other baseball news, the league has officially rejected the Rays' plan to split time between Tampa and Montreal. They'll now look to find a new home in the Tampa area before considering other options. Nashville and Vegas considered to be the top baseball markets that they would like to try.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Hey, we got an honest-to-goodness win streak now for the Kraken. They take care of San Jose last night, 3-2 at home. Got down a goal just 38 seconds into the game. You had to wonder if they were just going to lay down again. But instead, they had one of their better, most inspired performances of the year. Two goals from Carson Soucy and Kelly Yarncroke with a big one.
A tip high off the glass by Yarncroke. Yarncroke scores!
That's your boy Calido with a huge goal. His to put them up 3-1. They ended up winning 3-2. Best part of the night, I thought, was a good bout. The captain, Mark Giordano, stepping up to battle Adam Rasko. It's nice to see a Kraken player step up to help a teammate and take matters into his own hands. I was at the game last night. Guess what happened when they started fighting? Nobody looked away. Nobody sat down, and it put an unbelievable energy into that building. Fighting, still good for hockey. NBA action, what's up with the Warriors? They fall again, this time in overtime to Indiana, despite 30 from Steph Curry. They've now lost 6 of their last 9. Phoenix takes care of Dallas, and New Orleans over the Knicks. That's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour here on the Mike Salk Show.
Good text from the 509 here. This is about the comment you brought up yesterday, and I think something you tweeted out or got into a Twitter conversation at least with someone with. Your stat yesterday you shared showing the Seahawks had a similar pressure rate on quarterbacks.
Yes, hurry
other
rate.
Teams, hurry
yes.
rate. And this person says, is in my opinion from the way opposing teams targeted short to intermediate pass routes to get the ball out quickly. So, for your conversation earlier of like, well, how do you want to see the offense operate?
Mm.
Is that something the Seahawks could do more to
some of that quick passing
yeah.
game? I think they tried to do some of it this year.
No, not Deke and Dunk. I know that's what Pete said he didn't want to do, but it worked. And it has worked.
Well, it's worked against the Seahawks
against
defense.
The Seahawks.
It doesn't mean it works against every defense. Pete's got a plan. I mean, everyone's got a strategy, right? A philosophy. Pete's plan is run the ball, force them to come out and bring their safety up and then hit them deep.
Got it.
Right? That's Pete's plan. Other teams have a different plan, right? Spread you out with different, you know, quick throws and this and that. And once you're spread out, then they want to hit you up the middle with a running play. There's different philosophies and strategies, right? It's like almost playing chess. I don't know any of the various gambits in chess other than the Queen's Gambit because they made a movie called or a show called that. But like, I think it's the same kind of idea. Like, what's your opening move? For the Seahawks, it's run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle, force you to bring your safety up and then hit you deep, right? So it's not that those things don't work. There's lots of different ways to move the ball, but I think having a philosophy that you can stick to, I think that's probably pretty important. All right, I'm excited to talk to Stacey Ross. We haven't had her in for a little while. I see a sign over there by her chair that says seat reserved, blue check marks only. So apparently Stacey is now in the club.
Flex.
And we'll bring her over to chat next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yeah, Stacey Ross is here to join
Sorry.
Us for a few minutes. Hello.
Hi.
You're blue check marked. Congratulations.
Yeah, I wanted sign. Everyone to know I have a sign on my chair that says seat reserved, blue check marks only.
Only.
Well, I assume that's why you were having me on this morning, is you wanted to talk about me being verified.
I did want to hear how the process went for you, and if you feel a little bit more confident than
tell
ever.
Tell you in real time how it happened.
Yes,
I applied
please.
Four
I think
times.
The people want to know.
Because if at first you don't succeed, try again, uh-huh. and then also like change your email and do all kinds of other things. And what happened was I got verified during the show. And I screamed. This was during a break.
Now, do you get an email on that, or did it just you?
You
just
get a notification
from
Twitter. Yeah, yeah. It was big time. I'm big time now
for sure.
Huge celebrity. It's
yes.
horrible for my ego, which is already so inflated
right.
to like such a toxic level.
Of course.
And now it's even worse. But the best part is, maybe 2 minutes before that, it's just a wild coincidence. Someone messaged in, you know, oh, Stacey, you're so annoying. I can't listen anymore. You always make it about yourself. And I was like, whatever. And then I got verified, and I was like, you guys, interrupting all relevant sports conversation. We're done talking about the Seahawks right now. I have to tell you about me.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now that you have this kind of power, do you think you could help me get Twitter to find the person who has @Salk, who has never tweeted, follows nobody, and is followed by nobody?
Wait, does he have a picture of you?
He's got nothing. It's just @Salk, and the person's never used it
well,
for anything.
Well, how do you know that person's last name isn't Salk, and he or she is just using it?
But they have no followers.
You don't have a claim on the name
Salk.
Follow
anyone and have never tweeted. They don't use Twitter, but they're squatting on this.
What about someone that's been on Twitter for years and has never liked a tweet?
Well, I just haven't found one yet to like.
I don't believe that
at
all. I
haven't found a tweet
I think you're
like
being
yet.
A contrarian.
One
and you refuse
day I'll find
to like
one,
tweets.
And once I find one, no, I will like that tweet.
Disagree. I think that you just refuse to like them.
I heard you the other day talking about talent. And I love the way you keep bringing it back, and you're pretty steadfast about that. Every time we kind of get into this, well, defense coordinator, this and that.
Yeah.
Do you care who the next defensive coordinator is, or do you think that the whole thing is bunk because they just haven't had the talent there?
I definitely care who it is. I mean, let me ask you first.
I'm sorry. Did Ken Norton get a raw deal?
Yes. I think this has always been Pete Carroll's defense. And the thing is, when the Seahawks hired Ken Norton Jr., what were people saying? Oh, this is just an extension of Pete Carroll. This is just a Pete Carroll yes man. So we're not going to give Ken Norton Jr. the credit or autonomy to be like, oh, no, he was his own man. He was making calls. But then when the defense is awful, which it was, for 2 years, in a couple categories, like passing yards allowed especially, they were 31st for 2 years in a row. I know they got better with sacks at the end of last year and got better with scoring this year. But overall, they haven't been able to like hit on all cylinders or been that great. So Ken Norton Jr.'s let go. Like, yeah, I mean, was he the answer defensive coordinator? Doesn't seem like it. Like, wasn't able to really turn the group around. But at the end of the day, it's Pete Carroll's defense. And this isn't me saying fire Pete Carroll. I really like Pete Carroll, and he's had a great defense. He's a great defensive mind. But I hope that they're able to find a marriage that's able to not just make the most of this defense and get the most out of it and find some new ideas if new ideas need to be found. But I just genuinely think, and this isn't the question you asked me, but I just genuinely think they need more talent.
So
like, I just genuinely think
like,
that's part of the problem.
Specifically, where would you like to
up
see
front,
more talent?
I think it starts up front with the defensive line. Mm-hmm. I think that you don't necessarily need to have it all over the defense. Like the San Francisco 49ers are an example of a team that has a great front seven, great pressure. That's how they win the games. That's, if there's a way that they beat the Packers this weekend, it's by getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers, not by Jimmy G like balling out and having a Josh Allen type game. It's by getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers.
That's how
and
the Bucs won the
mistakes.
Super Bowl last year.
Their secondary is not that great. I mean, they're a good defense overall, but you don't have to be elite at every level. In an ideal world, you'd have like an elite outside corner, an elite edge rusher, and a great run-stopping tackle or a really disruptive defensive tackle. Those are three really expensive positions, particularly an edge rusher. So you don't need all of them to be great, but find one of them.
Are you willing to cut Bobby Wagner to help make it happen?
Man, if there's a way to make Bobby Wagner take less money, yeah. And I feel horrible saying that. I really, really like Bobby Wagner. Like a lot. He's a fantastic player.
Everybody likes Bobby Wagner.
That's the thing, is everyone likes Bobby Wagner.
Did they get even a little bit worse without him at the end of the year?
No.
Did they get better without him at the end of the year?
That I don't know.
I might argue yes. And
it's hard to separate the offensive production at the end of the year from making things a little easier for the defense. Too.
All of that is true, but I saw so many more aggressive plays from the linebacker spot. I've been on the sort of just move on bandwagon from Bobby, and just even if he is willing to take more, less, just move on, save all of that money, spend it on a position where you can get more value and be more aggressive at the linebacker spot. I will say, Mora has made me stop and think a little bit.
Does that to me all the time.
I know,
she just drops like nuggets of knowledge where all of a sudden you're questioning everything you know.
You're rocking down a path and you're like, wait a minute, that's actually a good idea.
Collaborative. I have to say that I got this idea from Wyman.
Well, then Wyman has made me stop dead in my tracks. But
he
I'll
always does that
for
different
for
reasons. He's just a huge human.
Right. You just can't get past him. the idea would be to, if you're going to lower his salary, to also lower the percentage of snaps he plays. That maybe you can get more vintage Bobby Wagner if he plays in 65, whatever the number is,
right,
percent of the snaps, and doesn't have to save himself for every single snap every down, because the Bobby Wagner we've got in the last 2 years, maybe even three, I forget the exact, I think it's two, just hasn't been the same Bobby Wagner that you paid all that money to. Well, he doesn't do anything.
No, and what's weird is the two positions where Seattle's spending the most money defensively aren't traditionally the positions that can make the biggest impact. Like, middle linebacker is always, it's the quarterback of the defense, and I understand that, but really the big difference makers on plenty of other teams are where? Edge.
Yep.
Cornerback. Primarily defensive line. Right? Like, you've got Aaron Donald. You've got Nick Bosa. Disruptive D lineman. But you've got Jalen Ramsey, and you've got Trayvon Diggs, who coverage was, like, questionable, but still had 11 interceptions, so he made a difference for them. But you wouldn't normally have it at middle linebacker or safety.
Not anymore.
It used to sort of
be the way the NFL was run, and that's changed quite a bit.
Right.
It's a good point. We'll see where they end up going with that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and kind of switching gears because we don't get to talk all the time, Stacey Ross joining me, by the way, from Jake and Stacey. You can listen to them every morning from 10 to, by the
if
way,
if you want to.
I was referred to as a wart. How do you feel about that?
As a wart?
Yes. This
Wait,
person
where?
Thinks I'm a wart.
Well, where did they say that?
On my,
Maybe they were tweeting at Salk and didn't mean to talk to you.
This is the Apple podcast page. I go there a lot.
Oh, don't look at that. Someone called me the most annoying sports radio host they've ever heard. And I was
who cares? As long as it comes with a 5-star review, that's fine.
That's true.
Joe the Farmer says, I can't stand Salk, but I have to listen. He's like that wart that I constantly pick at, but he gets all my attention.
Amazing. He gave you 5 stars?
5 stars.
Joe the Farmer can say whatever he wants if you give 5 stars.
I've been telling people for a while, go to the Apple podcast page and subscribe. And by the way, you know, give us a little 5-star review.
We can use them.
But while you're there, you can grab Jake and Stacey as well and download their show for some other listening.
What if someone also says that I'm kind of like the dad they never had?
That could happen.
Yeah.
Stacey's like the dad I've always wanted. Thanks, alternate dad.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I could see that. Why were you guys saying yesterday? I didn't get to listen. I just saw the show note. I'm sorry. But the idea intrigued me that the Mariners need to find more winning players.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Okay, so this stems from an interview that Mitch Haniger had on Wyman and Bob. Here, look at this cross promotion we're having as an entire show. What a nice station. What a nice teammates we are. Yeah. So Wyman and Bob had this awesome interview with Mitch Haniger the other day, I think on Wednesday. And they asked him about the Players Tribune and Sports Star of the Year and all this other stuff. But they ask him about free agency and what he's thought of the acquisition so far. And he makes it clear that, like, hey, Robbie Ray's awesome. Like, I love the moves we made, but we need a lot more. And I'm summarizing what he said, but like this is what he said. I don't think I'm like misquoting
it. He said guys who can win in the majors.
He said basically prospects aren't enough.
Yep.
And I think that I interpreted it as, is Mitch Haniger, like me, a little worried that the Mariners might not do enough?
Mm-hmm.
And just lean on, hey, not only are these prospects really genuinely, genuinely exciting, Julio Rodriguez, number 2 overall prospect in baseball, lots to be excited about. They're also cheap. And we might also build this thing like a grassroots from the ground up kind of thing. But then if you're Mitch Haniger, you're looking at the team saying, like, I kind of want to win now. And not only that, but maybe the best way to get to a World Series is to combine those things.
So are you, and I would agree with that. Do you think that when you say winning player and bringing in free agents, is their track record of being successful not
Good
just
question.
As individuals, but as a team, like going to the postseason, et cetera?
I think so.
Is that important to you? Is it time to bring in some of that kind of experience?
I think so. And I'm using a cross-sport analogy right now, which maybe isn't fair. And you know more about baseball, so I don't know if you have an example of this, but I'm using just a recent football example. The Arizona Cardinals, right? Part of that's Cliff Kingsbury just never being able to finish anything except for, I don't know, like styling his outfits, which are like always on point. But it's that idea of when you saw the Arizona Cardinals completely falling apart against the Rams, you're thinking, would a team that's been there before that knows how to mentally get themselves through this have performed differently?
It's a good question. And they tried. I mean, they brought in a guy like J.J. Watt, I think, with some of that.
Right.
Not that he's really ever won all that much. So maybe that's a good point. Great player who's never really won anything. All right, good. I'm gonna think a little bit more about that over the weekend. Maybe we'll talk more about it next week. We do have a texter here who says, Stacey is the grandmother that I wish I had. maybe it's a person who's seen what you wear, fashion-wise.
No, excuse you, Salk.
Whoa.
No, absolutely not. Look, am I wearing a very oversized blazer? Yeah. Do I go to bed early? Yeah, that's none of your business.
Oversized blazers are in right now.
I mean, this is coming from someone that G told
Salky wears mom jeans.
Oh, yeah, dude, I don't know what I'm doing.
Adorable.
This is the pot in the kettle,
No. But what it is that Jake and Curtis, who are a year and a half younger than me, constantly make fun of my age. So they'll say stuff like, oh, the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since, Stacey, you were what, in college?
You're wearing George Murison's blazer. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's a blazer for a man who's 7'6", yeah. And yet Stacey's wearing it here.
I liked
to work
today. My fashion icon is John Taffer from Bar Rescue.
Stacey, thank you. You can listen to Jake and Stacey every morning at 10 o'clock. We'll be right back with the professor, Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing today?
Hanging in
we
there.
We ready for the best weekend of the NFL season?
One of them, certainly.
Usually is, right? Yeah. I mean, you got four games instead of two. It's the last best weekend with all four time slots, right?
Right, that's correct.
So it should
two
be pretty good.
2 days of football, yeah.
What's the best game this weekend?
Buffalo and Kansas City.
That's what Brock said, too. Got to agree. Who? I mean, that is a barn burner.
It really
what
is.
What decides that game?
Who does the best at quarterback? Whether it's going to be Patrick Mahomes or Jason Allen.
Then I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, I would too. I would lean that way. He's at home. He's got so much going for him. He's got the yards after the catch, everything else. So I would lean toward Kansas City.
Well, they've also kind of done it before. I know Josh Allen's obviously had a good year, but I still don't trust him.
Not you don't?
No, and I know I'm wrong. Like, let me start by saying I know I'm probably wrong and just biased because I've never really believed in him.
Yeah.
But I just he's still got to prove it to me in one more big game, I think.
I don't know what he needs more to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done just about everything.
He's been really, really good this year. I know. I may have to, like, change my opinion of him at some point. I know. Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm not quite ready to do it yet. But I'm getting there. What's going on in Phoenix? There's rumors that there was this crazy, angry meeting, right? With Bidwell and Kingsbury and Steve Keim. And then others are saying there was no meeting. What's going on down there?
It's Ian Rappaport saying there was no meeting.
No, there have been others. Gambo said it. And I think Josh Weinfuss said it, or Ken Summers, rather, said it.
Yeah.
So what do you think's going on down there?
Well, I think that Michael Bidwell's upset.
Yeah.
As he should be. I mean, the team performed terrible. It's been bad down the stretch the last couple of years. And if Michael Bidwell isn't upset about that, that he's not being a good owner. And so it's like, they're going to stay with Cliff Kingsbury as the head coach, but it's like, you know that he's up for it next year. And, it's like, I think that, it's like, if they didn't have a meeting and he wasn't upset in the meeting, then something's wrong.
Yeah, it says it was a tense meeting and stuff hit the fan.
Yeah.
It seems odd to me that that would happen without there being like a change of direction coming out of it.
Well, I mean, again, it's like unless you fire the coach, there's no change of direction.
I'd fire the coach.
Yeah, well, they didn't.
And it's not just about him and some of the failures that he's had. I would want to, because they're going to have to make a decision on Kyler Murray. Would you pay Kyler Murray $40 million a year?
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah.
Even after watching him in his one playoff performance and the way just the leadership and the way things kind of went downhill, you would have no issues doing it?
Not really, no. He's that talented. But also what you're looking at, Kingsbury's in the last year of his contract. Steve Keim's going to be in the last year of his contract. And so it's like if they don't win, then they're all gone. But again, it's like you want the quarterback. And he's a good quarterback. And so if you want a good quarterback, you have to pay him.
All right. It looks like, speaking of quarterbacks, it looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play. No injury designation coming out. So he should play. Fred Warner should be able to play. Nick Bosa may be able to come back. He was listed as questionable. Does this give the Niners a shot here on Saturday?
No, I don't think so. I think right now there's a distinct advantage for Green Bay. You know, it's going to be cold. It's going to be zero wind chill. I don't care. I mean, if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play, which it looks like he should, he probably shouldn't. He's got the bad thumb. He's got the bad shoulder. And he's going to go out there in the cold weather and try to beat Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I know it's Trey Lance that would have to fill in for him. But I think if they play him, it's not the wise decision.
Did you see, speaking of the Niners, what Deebo Samuel called himself, a wide back? Have you seen that?
Like
kind of a cross between a wide receiver and a running back.
Yeah,
and
that's a good one.
Cordero Patterson did it also this year, right? So what do you think that's a possibility that we'll see more of that moving forward, these sort of hybrid role guys?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, if you can find guys that can fill that role, you know, jet sweeps and, you know, running plays to go with the passing plays and all that.
But even lining up in the backfield now, right? I mean, that's what kind of, I mean, we've seen the jet sweeps the last few years, even Percy Harvin and all those guys years ago. But now they're just lining these guys up as running backs and handing them the ball.
And it works.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the speed that Deebo Samuel has. Look at Patterson and what he's been able to do. So, no, I think that, I mean, I think they're rare to find, but if you can find them, and I think there's going to be more of them, then you play them.
You want to line DK up back there?
No.
How come?
He doesn't fit that role.
No.
I mean, he's a big, tall, wide receiver. I mean, he's not going to be
too tall
to
for that.
Well, he's just not a jet sweep guy.
No, I mean, line him up in the backfield and hand him the ball.
No.
No. I think it would look cool seeing DK running downhill right at the linebacker. Let him take that guy on.
I don't see it.
No, I don't really see it either. But I do like the idea, and I do often think about how guys end up getting assigned a position at some point in their life.
Right.
Right? Maybe it was in high school or even in college or sometimes even earlier than that, and they just kind of keep playing that position because that's what they were at one point or that's what a coach decided, and maybe they'd be better at another one.
Well, I mean, again, receivers are receivers, but also, too, if you're a rare one, and obviously Patterson, Samuel, they're rare, and they can do so many more other things, then you get a chance to do it.
Yeah. Bengals and Titans, last game, what's the key there?
I think the key right now is to see if they can protect Joe Burrow, because remember, he's been sacked 51 times. And also, too, I mean, Ryan Tannehill's been sacked 47 times. So protecting the quarterback for both teams is going to be the key.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, with Tennessee, they are going to get a little bit of, you know, Derrick Henry. You know, I think they'll get
You think
more.
He plays?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I do. I mean, not the whole game.
Yeah.
I think he'll be in a rotation.
Okay.
But I think he does play.
Good. Well, that'll be good. I think the league needs Derrick Henry back.
Yes.
He is one of the stars of this league. He's been missing here for the second half, and it's too bad. He's a blast to watch.
I think
we're all going to get a little reminder there. John, great stuff as always. Enjoy the divisional round weekend. It is one of the best of the year, and we'll talk on Monday.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there you go. John Clayton joins me every day at 8:45. All right, fine. I don't want to put DK behind the quarterback and hand him the ball, but I do think it is interesting the way guys get sort of put into one spot, and it's like, okay, well, that's who they are. Sorry, you're a running back. Sorry, you're a defensive end. Like, maybe you're a better tight end. Like, we're talking about Mike Vrabel, how many touchdowns did you say he scored more as a tight end?
It was 10 in his career, yeah.
That's a lot for a guy who's like, oh, sorry, you're a defensive end. Well, no, kind of want to play a little tight end. Okay.
So we're out there and see what happens. Sherman was a receiver.
Right, he ended up moving and had more success, obviously, at the cornerback spot. I remember when Troy Brown, who was a very good sort of slot receiver, was forced into action as a corner. He was pretty good at it.
Like, got an interception.
These guys are athletic. It's fun when you kind of get to move them around and see all the different things that they're capable of. I love it. Not as much as when a punter has to kick or vice versa. That's one of my favorite things that happens. I love when one of those guys gets pressed into action. So, all right, you know what time it is. It's 9 o'clock on Friday, which means you guys are up. You're open phone lines, whatever it is you want to talk about, any question you've got, any comment you want to make, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, other sports, playoffs, anything that's been on your mind that you want to talk about. I know I always hear, hey, Salk, you're not talking about what I want to talk about. This is your shot. 206-421-3776. Anything. Rules proposals for the NFL, where apparently the Salk rule may be in effect one day. Hopefully Dean Blandino is going to take that to the right people. You name it, I'm ready to talk about it. 206-421-3776. Give me a call. We'll talk together next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.